But we are continuing today. Next week, I'm kind of doing a transition between the Holy Spirit and our summer series that we're going to get into. And I'll tell you, I've already got the message ready. And that's not normally me because I'm just like pumped about it. I'm believing God's got great things. But let's talk about the Holy Spirit. How many of you know the Holy Spirit is a person? Not like a human being, but he's got a personality. And sometimes we refer to the Holy Spirit as it. Anybody ever remember that? Like, oh, I got it, right? I mean, it's like, what do you mean you got it? Did you get COVID? What are you talking about? Did you get the flu? What is it? And or sometimes, this is kind of always funny, like if a woman's pregnant and people come up and ask, what do they ask? What is it? And it's like, don't you just want to say it's a baby? Right? But I mean, that's not what they're actually referring to. You know, they're saying, is it a boy or a girl? But here's the thing. When we refer to the Holy Spirit as it, we're taking his personhood away from him, his personality away. And it's kind of like, you know, we like our cars. Some of you guys really like your cars. How many of you guys like cool cars? Anybody? Okay, a couple of people. And you know, you hear people. How many of you know you can't have a relationship with your car? I don't care how much you baby that thing and like, you know, oh, she's or your motorcycle, right, JR? I'm just telling you, sometimes our possessions, we can allow it to become more than an it. And I'm sorry to tell you, but I don't care if you say, well, my motorcycle or my car's pronouns are she and her, right? It's not. I'm just telling you, it's an it. I don't care what you can't have a relationship. No matter how valuable or personal something may be, your possession will always be an it, right? And this is the first fill-in. You're never going to have a relationship with what you possess. You're just the owner of it. That's all it is. Except it seems like over the last, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years, since these things have developed, it's like we've grown a second organ. You know, those phones, it's like, oh my gosh, I forgot my liver. I better go back home and get it because it's so important in your life, right? So it's just a phone. That's all I'm telling you. But like I said, you're never going to, but the Holy Spirit, you can actually have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because, and here's, I think, the challenge, because we refer to him as the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, if you got a King James, sometimes it's kind of hard wrapping our mind around that, because we understand God the Father, right? Whether you had a good father, bad father, whatever father, we understand you can have relationship with a father. You can have relationship with a son. But the Holy Spirit, it's like, how do you wrap your mind about it? Let me give you a verse out of Corinthians that I want to explore a little bit here. Verse 14, and it has all three parts of the Godhead right here. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And I just want to kind of break down our relationship with each one, how it's different and yet sometimes the same. So I want to start with the love of God. And I think we understand that, listen, if God didn't love us, the story's over. Right? That's it. I mean, there's no point talking about the rest of it, because the most famous Bible verse is what? Yeah, John what? John 3:16. Like, you see people put that everywhere because that's the beginning. And it says, for God so loved the world, and that includes you and I, that he gave his one and only son, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So our salvation begins with the love of God. Because God loves me. I love Romans 5:8. It says, God showed or demonstrated his great love by sending Christ to die while we were still sinners. While we were still walking in rebellion to God, God didn't say, hey, get your act together and then I'll start loving you. No, his love preceded all of that. And if God didn't love us, how many of you know he would have never sent Jesus? Sometimes I hear people say, well, God could never love me. God could never love me. I want to tell you, the very fact that God sent Jesus is evidence that God loves you. Right? Don't, if you ever hear people say that, well, I've done too much, God doesn't love me, give them this verse right here. Listen, God sent Jesus to demonstrate his love while you were doing all those dirty, rotten things that you were doing. Amen? And so it starts right there. Let's go back to that verse. So it says, so the love of God, but he says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think most people understand grace. If you don't, what it's talking about is God's favor, God's blessing towards us that he has put on us, even though we don't deserve it. That's why we call it grace, because we don't deserve it. If you did enough to deserve God's grace, some of you know it wouldn't be called grace. All right, let me do enough. And let me just settle you down. You're never going to be able to do enough to earn God's grace. Amen? It is by the sacrifice of Jesus. So let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. How many of you know that is grace? We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. Because Jesus took our sin, we get the righteousness of Christ. Amen? I mean, that's powerful. Let me give you another one. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. For God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son. How many of you think, when you read the scriptures, it's like there's messages repeated, just sometimes worded a little different. That's when God's trying to get a message through to you. So he showed how much he loved by sending his son into the world that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us, sent his son as a sacrifice. And I love, like the old King James uses a word that nobody uses before, propitiation. Isn't that a fun one? When was the last time you used that in a conversation? But what did he do? As a sacrifice to take away our sin. I just want to kind of point it out because it does mean sacrifice, but it's a little bit deeper because it's the act of appeasing or satisfying God's wrath. Yes. Right? Because what we don't understand, maybe not, is that God hates sin. How many of you realize that? And his wrath is poured out, not necessarily on people, but on sin. And so if you and I have sin that is not dealt with, and let me just say this, God also loves all people. So his wrath is coming against sin. He loves all people, but if we do not deal with our sin issue, if we do not accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then God's going to pour that wrath on our sin, which includes you and I, if we don't accept him. And listen, it's going to be poured out on all people that do not accept Jesus. Now, I know people are like, well, how was that love? Listen, that fact should concern you. Does that concern anybody? Anybody have friends, family, neighbors, coworkers that don't know Jesus? Of course we do. And so that fact that wrath is coming, we need to realize if we don't tell them, who will? All right? Well, maybe, I sure hope somebody else does. I sure hope somebody else. God sends someone. Listen, God may send you. Amen? So what did Jesus do? He took our sin. He literally separated our sin nature away from us, and he put us in right standing with God. Did anybody deserve that? That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God. But then he goes into the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And I love this because this is a word that a lot of times we use. Oh, how many of you guys like fellowship? All right. When we think fellowship, we're like, okay, who's bringing what food? All right. This is a lot deeper than that. Because you can have a meal with somebody and not know them. Isn't that right? But when he's talking about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, he's talking about a close, mutual association, a friendship. And let me just say, you can't have close, mutual association with an it. You can with the Holy Spirit. We get that. And listen, everyone who accepts the love of God, everyone that receives Jesus as their Savior is born again, right? How many of you know there's no hoops? You don't have to become a member to be saved, right? When that happens, the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of you. And I know sometimes we're like, oh, you know what? Did you ask Jesus into your heart? And listen, God doesn't get worked up about that. But how many of you know Jesus is not actually living in your heart? Where does the Bible? God the Father is in heaven. And where is Jesus at? What does the Bible say? That he, it's in Romans 8:34. It says Jesus is at the right hand of God, and it says that he is ever interceding for us. But what happens is that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, all kinds of names the Scripture gives, is dwelling on the inside of you now. Isn't that crazy to think? You have got a literal part of the Trinity on the inside of you right now if you've accepted Jesus. That should make us walk a little bit more in awe, amen? And so he's there. I'm going to give you a few verses here real quick. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? Listen, that highlights the Holy Spirit's permanent indwelling. Amen. Like, remember in Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did not dwell in anyone. He just simply came upon people. Romans 8:9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So this is really connecting our salvation with his presence in us. That's our belonging. Ephesians chapter 1. And in him you also who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, who you have believed, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until we receive redemption of our own possession to the praise of his glory. Listen, that really talks about the Holy Spirit signifying and sealing us as a believer. Amen? Let's look at the next one. I've got so many I could give you. I limited myself. 1 John 4:13. In this we know that we abide. And listen, abiding is different than being with. You understand that? Abiding, again, is just another word that signifies a close, intimate relationship. And that we abide in him, he in us, because he gives us his Spirit. If we didn't have his Spirit, it would be awfully hard to abide in him. Next one, John 14:17. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send in my name. Look what he's going to do. This kind of talks about some of the roles, the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things. Most born-again Christians know and understand the Holy Spirit is on the inside of them. I don't care what denomination, church, everybody believes that. But here's the reality. So many people live with no actual fellowship with him. He's there. It's kind of like the person in the back room that you never talk to. Like, I got a roommate back there. We just don't talk. Here's what I wanted you to understand. The Holy Spirit was never intended to be your silent partner. He's in you, but are you having fellowship with him? It's kind of like your teenager, like, you know what, when they hit a certain age, they go to the room and you never see them again. Anybody ever? It's like, hey, listen, you know, mom and dad out here, come on out, have dinner at the table with us. Listen, the Holy Spirit wants to have, and we understand that relating to the Holy Spirit, it's not just like a like theology. You know, I was in Bible college, I studied theology 1, 2, and 3. One was good, the other ones were really boring, but I'm just telling you. And a lot of people, they talk and they study about the Holy Spirit, but they do it without ever having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Does that make a, I put it like this in your notes. If we're going to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we've got to go past the theology to a place of personally developing a relationship with him. Amen? Man, that's good preaching right there, right? I'm going to amen myself on that one right there. Listen, what I'm saying is that listen, and this happens a lot. You can mentally agree with all of the doctrines of Scripture and Holy Spirit and all of that and still have no relationship with God. Didn't he tell the disciples, listen, didn't we preach in your name? Didn't we do this in your name? We did all these things. And what did God say? Depart from me, for I never knew you. And so relationship is so important. And let me just say, most churches will kind of mention the Holy Spirit, but it's merely more of a theology to where people are like, oh yeah, well, I agree with that, but there's no relationship. And we got to go beyond that. And so I have just a couple of statements. They're not in your notes, but a person or a church, if they that doesn't actively acknowledge the Holy Spirit, like maybe a brief reference here and there, that doesn't mean they don't have the Holy Spirit, does it? No, of course they do. If they love Jesus, if they've accepted Jesus, they have the Holy Spirit. But I'm just going to say this. Don't throw anything at me, but it's probably going to be a pretty boring service. Okay? I'm just telling you. In my personal opinion, it's like, okay, well, that was great. But here's what I do believe. A person or church that walks in fellowship and friendship with the Holy Spirit, you're going to begin to see more of the miraculous happen. Amen. You're going to sense the presence of God is here. And it's like, you know, sometimes we want to substitute the presence of God. If I can get enough bells and whistles going then entertain people enough, then they'll think, oh man, that was a great service. And it was like, the reality is that you were just really well entertained, right? We can't fake it. We need to come back to the basics and say, listen, you got to get connected with God. You got to have a relationship with Him. Let me back this up with Scripture. John chapter 14. It says, I'm going to tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me, this is Jesus talking, if you have faith in me, will do what I've been doing, and He will do even what? Greater things. Anybody ever been kind of blown away by that? I can do greater things than these. Why? Because I'm going to the Father, and He says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory. Listen, this is an incredible promise. Like, I'm going to be able to do greater things. Whatever I pray for, God's going to, and He reiterates it in verse 14. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I'm going to do it. And let me tell you, I've heard this preached, talked about a lot. That's usually where we end, and we're like to start, well, how's the greater things? Well, because He's going to be in all of us. We're going to be here, there, all over the place. We don't ever go to verse 15. All right, how many of you know, if you're going to be really a student of the Word, you got to read Scripture in context. All right, we can't cherry pick it. So what does verse 15 say? If, how many of you know what the word if is a condition? All right. That means God often makes promises, but then He puts a condition to it. Like, you're going to do greater things. Yes, you can ask for anything, but there's this big if you love me, then He says, you will obey what I command. If you love me, you will obey what I command. So let me just go on that for a second. How many of you understand, okay, I love God, right? I love God. We can love God, but what does He command? What's the command? What if it's so pertinent for me to do greater things and for Him to do all of that, what command am I supposed to, like, do I got to go through the Old Testament, figure it out? Lord, what is your command? Jesus, what is your command? And I love the fact that He already answered that. Because we're in John 14. The previous chapter, John 13, Jesus is very specific about what His command is. He says, a new command I give you. Let's say the highlighted together. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Think He's making a point there? I think so. That listen, basically, you can read it in the back way. I will not be able to do greater things if I'm not loving others. Isn't that true? It starts, let me just say this. I'm at where the rubber hits the road. It starts with loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's where it starts. And let me just say, there are times, well, let me just put this up here right quick. This isn't in your notes, so if you want to take it, you'll have to write it down. When relationship friction happens, anybody ever have relationship friction with another Christian? Come on, I want to see some hands here, right? Stick up both hands if it's happened more than twice and then wiggle the fingers because it happens. Let me just say, the longer you hang out with people, whether at work, whether at church, friction's going to happen because somebody said something wrong, somebody did something wrong, somebody didn't do something that I thought that they should have done, or they didn't greet me. I had somebody get upset at me because I didn't greet them one Sunday, and this was at a different church. We had these like mile-long pews. They sat in the very back where there was a wall between them in the very middle, and I didn't greet them. They were mad. I'm like, I failed, right? Let me just say, we are going to fail one another. There's times that friction is going to happen in the body of Christ. And when that does, listen, three choices that you and I have to deal with it. Number one, we can get offended, and I'm just going to raise my hand. I've been offended, right? People have said stuff, done stuff, and it's like, you know, you just kind of mumble under your voice right there. But what do you do with that? You don't hang on to it. Because when I feel offended, I'm like, God, I don't like that feeling. Does anybody like that feeling? Oh, man, that feels so good. I am so offended. That was like in the military. Thank you, Sergeant. May I have another, right? We don't like it, and so I don't want to stay there. But one thing that some people will make the choice to do is just to ignore it. Is that even possible? All right, we can acknowledge it. I mean, here's what happens. The longer I ignore it, the bigger it becomes in my head. Right, it begins to fester in my head like an open sore that is there. Let me show you a scripture out of Hebrews that really deals with it. He says, work at living at peace with everybody. Can I just say, it's work sometimes. Now, don't look to somebody and say, yeah, you're work to live with. No, don't do that. But we do have to. Let me just say, a good marriage, it takes work, doesn't it? Right? I mean, you kind of get the idea, like when you're first, oh, we're so in love and we're going to get married. Everything's going to be la-di-da and amazing. How many of you know that's week one? Right? And then week two comes along and it's like, it takes work, but that's every relationship will take work. But he also says work at living a holy life. Right? That takes work. Right? All you got to do is surrender to Jesus and everything's going to be okie dokie. Oh no, you got flesh to battle with. You got all kinds of stuff. And he says, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fail to receive the grace of God. Then he says this, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you and corrupting others. Listen, if I choose to hang on to offense, it's going to hurt me. It's going to make me sick. It's gonna put hatred building in my heart, and not only that, it's gonna affect other people around me. I don't want that. And so I can choose to try get offended, ignore it, or I can choose to deal with it biblically. Amen. If I'm really gonna love other people, I've got to learn how to deal when offense comes. That means that I might have to humble myself and apologize for something I don't feel I did anything wrong. I've done that before, and I hate doing that, right? Anybody, like, hate apologizing for something you know they're right? You know you're right. It's like, but you know what? When you humble ourselves and don't, like, hey, listen, I'm sorry you're offended. I'm sorry you took it that way. Does that work? I'm sorry you're so sensitive, and I, you know, it's like, right? How many of you know that's not humbling yourself? Right? Like ask God, God, help me to love, help me to come, and help me to repair this fracture here. So let's go back to that verse here. You may ask for anything if you love me and obey what I command. Do you guys realize this is the great commandment right there? Love God if you love me and you love other people. All right? That's the whole nutshell. Do you realize how easy Christianity is if I would just do that? How blessed you will be. But let me just say, love starts with loving your brother and sister. This is in your note. You're never going to love other people if you can't love other Christians. I'm just being honest. Why is that? Have you ever thought about that? Have any of you found it easier to love people that, you know, they don't know the Lord? So you, guess what? Our expectations are about this high with them. It's like, I expected you to be a jerk. You know what? You don't know the Lord. But when we have our brothers and sisters, guess what? We raise the standard. And so it's so much easier for everybody to fall below that standard. And so listen, when you begin to work and love on that, other people, it's going to become a lot easier. Amen? Amen. So anyway, let's move on. You're going to do greater works. Verse 16 says this, and I will. So if we do that, okay, God, I'm going to love you. I'm going to love others. And Jesus says, and I'm going to ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. Everybody say another. All right? And to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you. Because where was the Holy Spirit at that time? He was in Jesus. But he says, and he will be in you. He's talking about when he rose from the dead, and we're going to get into that a little bit next week, that he will be in us, amen? And so I highlighted another there because that's simply the Greek word allos, it means another of the same kind or different of a similar kind. And so the Holy Spirit is God, Jesus is God, God the Father is God, but how many of you know they all have different roles? Right? And it's like if I had a green apple and a red apple, that's kind of similar to that. It's another similar and yet different. As opposed to if I had an apple and an orange, how many of you know they're completely different? Right? They may both may be fruit, but there's no similarities whatsoever. And so Jesus is saying, listen, I'm going to send you the counselor. He's going to be similar to me, but it's going to be a little different. Like, you're not going to walk and talk like Jesus they could actually touch. He's going to be on the inside of you, and there's going to be a lot of similarities, a lot of things that Jesus did that the Holy Spirit is going to do in our life, but it's going to be a different way. And they didn't quite grasp that. They didn't understand that. And so that is what we're wanting to look at. Okay, love God, love others. Jesus is going to send one just like me. The result of that, as we develop it, we have relationship with the Holy Spirit. Let me back that up in the book of Mark. I don't think I have it up here, do I? Nope, I don't. He says this, Mark chapter 16, verse 17, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hand. And don't worry, I'm not bringing any snakes in here. Just so you know, unless one slithers through, then... when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them, and they will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. So Jesus is saying, listen, these signs are going to follow. When you have a relationship with me, these things are going to happen. So let me ask you a real question here. Do we see most of these happening in an average church in America? Do we see sick people getting healed? Do we see demons getting cast out? Do we see that? Not often, if ever, right? In some of them. But does that mean they don't believe in Jesus? Of course they do. They wouldn't be there. They gave their life to the Lord. The Spirit's living in them. So where is the inconsistency? Have you ever thought about that? Where's the inconsistency? Jesus said, these things are going to follow. I believe you. So why aren't they following? The answer is the Holy Spirit. It's the X factor there. It's having that personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Listen, let me just say, you and I are not going to be able to see sick people healed, casting out demons, all of that stuff, if you don't have a real relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's something that has to be developed in your life. And you see, listen, if you just treat the Holy Spirit as the silent partner, hey, listen, thanks for coming into my life and I'm saved now. Now you can go back to your room and I'm going to live my life however I want to. Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, it doesn't work that way, does it? That's not how it works. Listen, if you treat him as a silent partner, he will stay silent in your life. You'll be like, how come everybody else is following the Holy Spirit? Listen, you might make it to heaven, but I want to tell you, you will have missed the opportunity to be a world changer. What do you mean by that? I'm talking about God using you to change the world for the people around you. How many of you know God can really do that? And I know sometimes we hear the word world changer. I'm going to be the next Billy Graham, you know? You know, as pastors, like, I'm going to pastor thousands of people. Listen, I don't even worry about that. I mean, it's probably a little bit late for me to be the next Billy Graham. I'm getting too old for that, but I don't even care. Listen, I just want to change the lives of people that are around me. Amen? Whether it be family, whether it be friends, whether it be people I encounter. Here's my thing that I put in your notes. When you walk in friendship with the Holy Spirit, you will change the world for others. Can I tell you, that's enough for me. I'm not going to get up into heaven one day like, oh, we had this many people in church and, you know, we built this and that. No, it's like, whose life did you touch? Whose life did you make a difference with? Who are you being prompted by? And let me just say, I believe it is imperative to develop a walk and a friendship with the Holy Spirit. Imperative. Why would I say that? Because I believe that's the difference between boring Christianity and exciting adventure Christianity. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. I'm convinced. Why? Because, you know, pastors, articles, books are being written. Why is it that in the Western church, and let me just say it's a Western church problem, because there are churches in Africa, South America that are just blooming. I mean, God is doing, the problem here is that we have, and why some people have stopped coming, or maybe they come infrequently, it's not because they don't love God. I can't question people's love for God, but I think it simply comes down to they're just bored. Amen? They're just like, oh yeah, we're going to go get another service. Oh, great worship, that was wonderful. Pastor, you had got a couple of funny jokes there. I like that. That was great. All right, I'm out of here. Next week, I'm going to the lake, right? And it's not sin to go to the lake, I'm just saying. But let me tell you, you want to go where there's some excitement. And I want to tell you, when you begin to walk with the Holy Spirit begins to lead you into situations. He's more than just having a good service. Right, the Holy Spirit, and I talked about this if you were here last time I spoke, that the Holy Spirit gives us these holy hunches sometimes, or that nudge to go over and do something or say something to somebody. And I just want to kind of give you an example. Like, I was going through our day Friday. We had our men's Bible study, went and picked up my wife and got lunch, and came and got my sodas at the PM store. and I was just in there, and I'm like thinking to myself, Lord, is there somebody you want me to talk to in here? And so I've got this relationship with the Holy Spirit going on, and I'm just kind of talking. I didn't do it out loud. That's not weird. People will think you're weird then, right? Like, oh, Lord, who do I need to talk to in this room here? I didn't do that. I'm standing there with my soda just saying, Lord, is there somebody that you want me to talk to? This guy pulls up in this car, and it's three different colors. How many of you seen those around? And I thought, man, what a jalopy there. That was my first thought. So, but it's running, and it had a number painted on the top. It said 23. And I thought, is that supposed to be a race car or something? I kind of chuckled. Anyway, as he was getting ready to come in, I felt like this nudge of the Holy Spirit to say, engage in a conversation with him. And I'm like, I don't know what to say to him. And so he came in. I'm like, I said, so do you race that car? And all of a sudden, his eyes lit up. And he's like, he starts telling me about his car. He goes, yeah, I only paid $1,700, but I got over $5,000 in the engine, and I take it. We do these races in dirt track. And he just started, like, telling all about his car, but I was ahead of him in line. And when it came time for me to pay for my soda, it was like, I'm like, oh, we had a great conversation, and I obeyed the Holy Spirit. I bought my soda. He was gone. He walked out. And I walked out to his car. He had his engine hood up, right? Because he wanted to show me his engine. He's like, somebody's excited about something that I have. And so I'm not a car guy. I'm sorry. It looked like an engine. I saw oil and stuff in it, right? And hoses. That was it. And so he's telling me all about it. And he was so excited about it. And I'm like, wow. I said, that's amazing. That's cool. Wow. You know? But I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, ask him a question. So I took that nudge and I said, hey, listen, when was the last time someone told you there's a God in heaven that loves you? And like his face all of a sudden, he's like, wow. He goes, I don't know. and I just tried to tell him just briefly. And I asked him, I said, listen, do you got a church you go to? And he's like, no, not really. And I told him where we were. And I said, listen, we would love to have you sometime. And it's like, he didn't give his life to the Lord right there. But you know what? He had an encounter. And let me tell you, the rest of that day, I'm just like, I'm all pumped. I'm like, Lord, thank you for that encounter. I had another one earlier that day. I don't want to just sit there and tell you all that stuff. But let me tell you, going and God being able to use you and just to kind of point people to Jesus. How many of you know everybody you talk to is not going to give their life to the Lord? I think they say on the average it takes 15 to 20 interactions with somebody before they make that point. But listen, I just want to be part of the journey, right? And let me tell you, my life, and I know next week, I'm just kind of put a little commercial in there. Next week, I'm going to be giving everybody one of these books. So we bought 90 of them, so they were 10 bucks a piece. It's $900. I didn't pay for it myself. By the way, church board, we bought it. So, but I do want to say, listen, if you want to help pay for the cost, listen, you can buy 10 of them for $100. Make sure everybody gets it. And why would I even say that? Is because listen, I've shared my faith. I do it on a, I would say, fairly regular, but when we got away, it's like God lit a new fire on the inside of me. And it's like every day, ever since, you know, we were in Hawaii, yeah, it was rough. We had to go take a little vacation there. But listen, I read through this book, and I've almost through it the second time, and it's not the Bible. It's just a tool and a testimony. Barry McGuire, you've heard me quoted a couple of times. He's not a pastor. He's a layman, a businessman. McGuire Car Wax, many of you have heard it. Number one car wax in the country, in the world, actually. And he's been sharing his faith every day for 50 years. And not like, oh, I got to come up with a program. You've been to I've taught evangelism classes, and it's like, now what do I say when? What's the verse I got? And it's like your brain kind of goes to mush when you're talking to somebody. This is like just so natural. And I have found it so easy just to be able to enter, just dialogue with people. And then God, the Holy Spirit, what does he do? He gives you the words to say when you need it. And so I can't wait to get to next week. I want to make sure everybody gets one. Listen, if you're not going to read it, don't take it. I'm just going to tell you that. But listen, once you get into it, you're going to be like, I think it's going to ignite us. I'm excited about it. I got a video that he made specifically for our church. I've been in contact with him. I'm going to show next week. But listen, it takes your life from being boring to exciting. Because a walk with Christ was never meant to be boring. But we've gotten there, right? And it's like, I don't want to be there. So how do I develop? I know I got about 12 minutes. I'm going to get through my 3 points. Don't worry, because it's super easy. How do I develop a real relationship with the Holy Spirit? Number one, I got to actually start conversation. All right? Like if you met a new person, how do you develop a relationship? You got to start talking to them. You got to actually have a conversation with them. And let me just say, when the Holy Spirit... Because there were times it's like people are like, ooh, I want the gift of tongue. Ooh, I want this. I want the... They're seeking the power, but they're not seeking the power giver. Amen? We're supposed to be seeking God. Whatever God wants to do in my life, that's his business. I want to seek him. I want to know more of him. And let me just give you another word of caution. You're never going to sense the Holy Spirit when you're living in a place of unforgiveness, hatred, and anger. Why? Because we're disobeying that second commandment. So here's the thing. When we talk about a relationship with the Holy Spirit, that sends up flags in some people's life because they've seen some weird people. Anybody ever seen somebody, the Holy Spirit, you know, holy rollers, you're going to be rolling down the aisle. And I've seen maybe internet today. How many of you know you can see some crazy people? I'm not even kidding. And I just want to give you this word of caution. The Holy Spirit doesn't make people crazy. It's crazy people that make the Holy Spirit look crazy. Come on, I'm telling you. Listen, crazy people, they don't need any help to look crazy, but they like to blame the Holy Spirit for it. All right? And I'm just being honest with you. And let me just say, probably all we look a little crazy at sometimes. All right, I don't care. I'm glad that I don't have to have my act together for the Holy Spirit to use me. Amen. So you don't have to have it all together. Don't worry about becoming weird, but just press into that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because like I said, without the Holy Spirit, Christianity is dry, kind of gets mundane. But the Holy Spirit is power, right? The scripture says that you will receive power, dunamis, if you receive the Holy Spirit. And you're like, you know, that's where we get our word dynamite. And it's like, well, I feel like all I got is a smoke bomb. I don't get dynamite. Sorry. My mind goes weird places. So it's like, listen, we don't want a smoke bomb. We want that power. And so we got to begin to talk with him and develop that relationship. I love what out of Amplified Version, John 16, 17. I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. Everybody say, my advantage. That I go away. If I do not go away, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, the helper, and like he breaks it down, the scripture, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengther, standby, the one that comes and stands by you. He will not come, but if I go, I'm going to send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you. Amen? And I can imagine that was a hard thing for the disciples to understand. Like, how could that be better? We have you in the flesh. But they didn't understand the Holy Spirit. And I would just say there's a lot of believers, a lot of pastors even, that don't understand this, so they don't really ever talk about it. But if we really believe it's to our advantage, why wouldn't we talk about it? I mean, in life, don't you want every advantage possible? Right? Like if you go into the grocery store and they say, hey, listen, if you got brown hair and blue eyes, you can go into the short line where there's no wait. Would you like, no, I'm just going to stay in the long line. It's like, oh, the advantage. I'm going there, right? God gives us an advantage by operating in relationship with the Holy Spirit. Why would we not do that? Doesn't make any sense, does it? So once we start communicating, this is so obvious. I mean, this is like ABCs here. Listen to his voice. Begin to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. So many different ways the Holy Spirit can speak to us. Number one way that I think that he has is through his word. Amen. Anybody ever have God speak to you through his word? Can I give you a scripture about that? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. I didn't include the rest of them, but it says, this is why the Holy Spirit said. So the Holy Spirit's communicating, and he starts out and quotes there, today when you hear his voice, listen, you can read the other verses later, but what it's doing, the Holy Spirit is quoting Psalms 95, verse 7 through 11. And so the Holy Spirit is telling, hey, listen, like when you've read your word, you're reading the Bible, and all of a sudden something highlights in your life, and you're like, oh, man, that was really good. And it's like you've read it 100 other times, but the Holy Spirit is speaking to you something specifically about that verse. That's why people that have, they don't have a relationship with God, they'll say things like, man, the Bible is so boring. I'm like, you read it with the Holy Spirit, it's not boring. I mean, we talked about this in our minute, unless you're in the genealogies, okay? Yeah, that's rough. That's rough right there. It's like, don't let that be your only reading for that day. But I'm just saying, the Holy Spirit will remind you. Maybe you're going through your day and there's something happens and it's like all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brings up a verse in your heart and you're like, oh man, I just thought of this verse. Well, you didn't think about it. The Holy Spirit reminded you about it. And so learn to listen. And this is the thing. If you never read God's word, you're never going to have the Holy Spirit speak those words in you. You're missing a lot. Well, I thought to be a good Christian, okay, I got to pray, I got to read my Bible. Listen, if you're just doing that, you're going to miss it. Get in there, begin to store up that so that the Holy Spirit's got something to draw out when he needs to. Amen? Other ways that he speaks, he may speak to you through a message. He may speak to you, you're listening on the radio, a song. Anybody ever have the Holy Spirit speak to you in a song that was like, oh my gosh, Lord, I needed that right now. Right? That's powerful. There could be in a tongue, an interpretation, a prophetic word. Somebody could be praying for you. Listen, look at what in Acts 13, 2. The Holy Spirit didn't speak scripture here. This is one day these men were worshiping the Lord, fasting. The Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work. So listen, God may speak to you in private time. He may speak to you in something public. All kinds of ways. We need to just listen to the Holy Spirit and begin to recognize his voice. Like part of listening, we do it by faith. Okay, God, I'm trusting that you. Like, let me give you an example. This was a few weeks ago in our first service. Somebody gave a tongue, and that doesn't happen on our first service. It's a small one. I'm back on the thing, operating the thing. Nobody's giving the interpretation. I'm like, well, Lord, your word says the scripture. If somebody gives a tongue, there's got to be an interpretation. And I'm like, Lord, I'm the spiritual leader of this church that you put me in. I don't know why, God, but you did. And so I got off of the sound booth, and I'm like, Lord, I have nothing. And I'm like, and I whispered this prayer, Lord, before I get to that altar, you better give me something. And I'm like, you better give me whatever that interpretation is. And I walked all the way up. I'm about three steps away, and I'm still thinking, I got nothing. And I'm like, and then I stood there and just took it in, and then I felt like God started giving me a word. And it's a crazy thing because I could have easily just sat there. Well, I didn't hear nothing. No, take a step of faith. Holy Spirit will give you the words to say, but we got to actually open our mouth. Here's another one, Acts 15:28. It seemed good to us in the Holy Spirit. I've always loved that. Because God never gives you, it's not always black and white. Sometimes it's like the Lord has given you an impression and a direction. The scripture says that if you're going to be led forth in peace, and so I want to be led forth in peace. And it's like, if you've prayed about something and you've really brought it to the Lord and you start stepping out in a direction, if you don't get resistance from the Holy Spirit, you're basically like that. That seemed good to me in the Holy Spirit. He hadn't shut the door. Listen, anybody ever have the Holy Spirit shut doors for you? I have, and I'm like, I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for it because I don't want to go where he's not directing me. Amen? I just say it's a partnership that we have. The more you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, the more you'll begin to recognize his voice. Like, I know today our phones, if people call, all their names pop up and their face. How many of you remember old school when they would call on a regular landline phone? You had no idea who was calling. And then you pick it up. If it's someone you haven't talked to much, you're like, who's this? Right? Who's this? But the people you talk to a lot, you recognize their voice. Right? I know who this is. Like, even if someone does call you on somebody else's phone, you're like, hey, listen, you're not Henry. I know Henry's voice. I don't know who you, and what's powerful about that is that the enemy will want to sometimes mock the Holy Spirit. And it's like when you've got close communication, you're like, no, you're not the Holy Spirit. Get thee behind me, Satan, right? And so developing that, learning to listen. Let me move to the last one real quick here. Obey what the Holy Spirit tells you. You guys realize the Holy Spirit is not into small talk? Like the Holy Spirit is not going to come up and like, so how was your day? Oh, it was good. Well, what'd you do? That's not what the Holy Spirit does, right? Because that's kind of weird, right? That's not his kind of communication. Here's what the Holy Spirit, and I put four, I thought of a couple others afterwards. The words of the Holy Spirit, he will encourage you. Anybody ever been encouraged by the Holy Spirit? He will challenge you to do something that you don't necessarily want to do. He will direct you. And I did add a couple of other ones. Sometimes he corrects us, all right? Sometimes he rebuke you. I mean, listen, Jesus rebuked Peter, didn't he? Sometimes he'll rebuke you. But listen, sometimes he will give you words to share with somebody else. And that's a powerful thing. But let me just say, a lot of times we don't mind the encouragement. We just don't want all that other stuff. Don't correct me, don't challenge me, don't direct me, just encourage me. Tell me you're doing wonderful and you're doing amazing. Let me tell you, that becomes a very self-focused relationship. And I want to tell you, if that's all you're looking for from the Holy Spirit, he's not going to keep talking to you. He's not going to keep talking, he's not going to listen, because what we're doing is that we're resisting the other words that the Holy Spirit wants to say. That never works out well. As a matter of fact, Acts chapter 7, I love that. You stiff-necked people. Don't you love that? With uncircumcised heart, it's like, I'm not going to, and ears. He goes, you're just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Listen, we've got to learn to begin to follow the Holy Spirit, not resist him. Listen, if the Holy Spirit is moving and you're sitting there with your arms folded, you know what you're doing? You're resisting. If you feel like the Lord is, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know if it was you, but when I felt like the Lord was calling me to give my life to him, I had a choice. I could either resist it or I could give in to them. Amen? I don't want to resist. Every time the Spirit is moving, I want to respond. And listen, we are not supposed to resist the Holy Spirit. Who are we supposed to resist? Yeah, that's what it says in James, right? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But what I have found is that as some Christians are better at resisting the Holy Spirit than they are at resisting the devil. Ow. Yeah, what do I mean by that? It's like, well, I really want to do... How many of you know we're notorious about justifying our sinful choices? Oh, you know what? Well, everybody else is doing it. You know, it's not a big deal. Oh, this is okay. Listen, until we learn to resist the devil... we're going to have a hard time hearing the Holy Spirit. Amen. Doesn't mean you got to be perfect, because none of us are. But it's like, listen, I can't keep giving in to this every time. I've got to, Lord, let me begin to submit to you. Amen. So let's look at it. I'm almost done. Timothy, you could actually come up if you want. Let's look at these points here. This is how I develop a friendship, start conversation, begin to listen, obey. But I wanted to look at it in reverse, because this is how to lose friendship with the Holy Spirit. Do not obey him. Begin to resist him. And then guess what? You're going to stop hearing his voice. It happens all the time. And then guess what? You're going to stop having conversation with him. So what are we going to do? Lord, I want to follow you. And let me tell you, because the Holy Spirit is a person, when we begin to walk in disobedience against his voice, what that does is literally grieves the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3:20 says, do not grieve. You can't grieve an it, can you? Like if you think your car is your baby or whatever, and you drive another car, the car's not over there like, man, they're not driving me. Right? Your car doesn't care, right? But we can grieve the Holy Spirit when we walk in resistance to him. And it says, the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So I just want to say, I want friendship with the Holy Spirit. This is not a message to like, oh yeah, that was great. You know what? I'm going to go on my way. This is one that if you don't actually apply it and say, okay, tomorrow morning, God, I want to have relationship with you. What does that even look like? It may seem really weird to you. How many of you know anything new is uncomfortable? Isn't that true? Anything new is kind of uncomfortable, but you do it anyway, right? And it's like, okay, wake up in the morning. Holy Spirit, I want to be led by you. I want to have relationship with you. What does that look like? Begin to get in his word. Begin to listen for his voice. And you know, like I said, for a while, it may be like you just start a new friendship. It may be a little awkward, a little different. But you keep doing that, and you keep coming to him. And I want to tell you, God is going to speak to you. The Holy Spirit, because he's already inside. If you've accepted Jesus, he's already on the inside. All you got to do is begin to go open that back door and say, I don't want you in the back room anymore. I need you in the living room. I need you in here where I can have fellowship. And so maybe even when you're in your living room or wherever you spend time in prayer and getting into his word, just invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need you in my life. I need you in my life. I need you. I need to begin to hear from you. I need to begin to have fellowship with you. Because that's a promise. It's to our benefit. Amen. So can I have everyone stand? I just want to take a few minutes, and I don't know where you are with your relationship. And let me just say this, everybody can grow deeper in their relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Nobody, oh, I've arrived. You know, we're still pressing on, aren't we? What does the Apostle Paul said? He goes, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I press forward. And so my challenge to you is to press forward in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And as we do that, just come to him. We're going to sing this song. Listen, if you need prayer, I know we got Pat and we got Bob and them. So if we could have a couple of you guys up here in case you need any prayer for any reason, Pat and Sean. otherwise, just in the song, even in the words of it, just say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you. I need more of you. Amen.